everyone for joining us. Really, really pleased, Maria and Tricia, to have you with us. And I'm just going to kick us off. So I'm Racky, and I'm co-founder of Gold Bangle Club. We're a new community for people who've got an interest in Web3 and a passion for South Asian culture to come together. I will be joined by my co-host, Becky. She's marketing communications producer at decentralized web company Fission and a Web3 and emerging tech marketeer as well. Becky and I are actually part of several of the same NFT communities, including Guava Girls. And we connected through a shared interest in how marketing practices are being applied to Web3 projects. And as is the way in Web3, we decided to collaborate on this podcast because we were sure that just as we were trying to figure things out in this very, very fleet of foot space, others must be too. So today, in our second episode of Web3 Marketing with Becky and Racky, we are delving into the nuts and bolts of developing NFT project narratives. And we are so thrilled to be joined by two amazing guests, Tricia and Maria. Tricia is founder and project director of Guava Girls, a retreat in the chaos of Web3, a place where members can escape from the expectations and pressures of daily life, pause and unwind. And Maria is co-founder at Shiny, a digital gallery on the Polygon blockchain. And she's also co-founder at Everyday Goddesses, a membership pass to a community that aims to grow female influence in the NFT space, elevate artists, reach new collectors, and spread blockchain knowledge. To kick us off, it would be great if each of our wonderful guests could share a little bit about themselves and how they got started in Web3. Tricia, if you're happy, it'd be great if you could kick us off. It would be great if you could just share a little bit about yourself and how you got started in Web3 and ultimately how you decided to start Guava Girls. And after that, it would be great if you could pass the baton to Maria. And Maria, it would be wonderful if you could do the same.
Sure, I'd love to. First off, thanks for having us. Really love both you and Becky in our community. You guys are amazing contributors, and yeah, I'm really happy to chat with you on this Web3 marketing podcast because I really enjoyed the last session, and I love what you're doing here. Happy to support and happy to be here. Guava Girls and myself. So me, you'll see me as Tricia McFish on Twitter. My background's in engineering, and I've done project management and product management for over a decade with a big corporation. And I only left this job in March when I started Guava Girls. And it's been really a dream to do this. So my background in project management as well, I started my own healthcare charity on my first mat leave. So I'm a mom of two little girls. And from this whole experience, I realized that what I want to do is really things that bring me joy and help me grow. And I was learning so much from my experiences in Web3 that I decided, yeah, this is what I want to do. And I'm really enjoying it so much more than my corporate job. So this is where I am now. So cue Guava Girls. This is an NFT project based really around balance. That's the backbone of everything we do. And we want to leverage the power of community, like you said, to create the safe space that supports people in finding balance through daily activities that we offer. We have activities around mindfulness, self-discovery, and you can really just pop in and take part in these Discord activities. And through this, we've created an amazing network of really supportive people. So whether you're an artist or an entrepreneur or just a big fan of NFTs, we want to be that place where you can sit back, relax, find people you vibe with, and find a little enjoyment in this space. So we also call ourselves a Care to Earn project. We've heard of Learn to Earn or Play to Earn, but Care to Earn is what we coin ourselves. And we're looking for ways to really reward our community and give back. And we've created a perks program. So with these activities, what we're developing right now is a way to reward order holders with Guava, and Guava for showing self-care, care for others in the community, for sharing your story, and a marketplace that you can then redeem rewards of your choice. So whatever you value most around health and wellness. So that's a gist. I'll hand it over to Maria to introduce herself and everyday goddesses.
Hello, first of all, thank you so much for having me tonight. Really excited to be here and happy to support you guys. And nice to see you, Trisha. So my name is Maria. I'm the co-founder of Everyday Goddesses and Shiny. Shiny is a metaverse lab focusing on helping with all things development, design, advising for any blockchain projects. And Everyday Goddess is a collection of 2,222 pieces focused on growing female influence in the space and supporting artists. We launched and minted in March, and since then have been building on our roadmap. And it's been quite an exciting journey. Myself, I started in, well, prior to Web3, I was in fashion, worked as a fashion producer, doing projects for brands like Chanel, Dior, Gucci, working in journalism. And what led me to Web3 was really it was really on the crossroads of two of my biggest interests, which were art and finance. I really saw a lot of opportunities for emerging artists in this space and how the space really changed the game for digital artists. So that's why I founded Shiny in 2021, and then later Everyday Goddesses. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. We have an incredible community and lots of exciting perks, including our recently launched token shop, scholarships for female learners to learn about tech and art and Web3. Lots of exciting things are coming up, and I'm really excited for the future.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Maria and Trisha. I always find it so interesting to find how people have made their way to Web3. Like both of you have got such different backgrounds, and here you are building these amazing projects and empowering so many people, so many women all around the world. And I think it just goes to show that, like, in terms of Web3, like people have got such diverse skill sets that they bring to the table, and that's one of the wonderful things that I think that we can all celebrate. So thank you so much. And what we're going to do now is spend a little bit of time delving into the manifestos of both of your communities. We're going to kick off with Guava Girls, and Trisha, I'm going to read the community manifesto to get us into the right headspace. So, I'll kick off. So, in a world that is socially distant, where fears and anxieties can stem from isolation, causing us to feel small, we say, no more. Now is the time to rise up, to band together as women, and lift each other up, to carry and empathize with each other's struggles, to help each other claim our best selves. We are the dreamers and the doers, making it happen for ourselves and for our loved ones. When we're wobbly, down, or stretched thin, we shift our gaze and we see one another. We regain our sense of balance, knowing other strong women are around. We care for quality and meaning, deeper connections, chances to learn, opportunities to transform and evolve, knowing that we are never alone. We are free spirits, unafraid and unashamed, moving and dancing to our own rhythms. Together, we are Guava Girls. I love that. Your manifesto, Trisha, it's written in a way that makes both Becky and I want to give a full-bodied yes to being part of the community. Just like hands down, I read it and I say it and I just get goose pimples. So it'd be great if you could just talk and give us a sense of what inspired you to write a manifesto for Guava Girls, write this one, and how you wrote it.
The basis of this is really from Arti Guava. I mean, Arti Guava, the artwork, the like she loves poetry as well, so the whole sentiment around it is really Arti Guava. So I have to tell her story. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it. She's actually on a plane right now back from Malaysia, actually she's born in Malaysia, grew up in Singapore, and so she's got family back there, but she immigrated to Canada about 2 years ago, right at the start of the pandemic. And really her signature style is born out of that move, and the isolation she felt when she came here, and she expected to, find friends at a job in a physical workplace, and that didn't happen. She's an art director, and everything was remote, and it was just hard to meet people. And she just wanted to focus on what brought her joy and peace in this time of darkness for her. And she worked on her artwork, and this is what came out of it. Like she's had the name Artie Guava, and has been doing artwork for forever. But this style of these full-bodied women who are just dancing and seeing joy in their lives, this came through this experience. And I actually met her last year when she had done murals as part of the Vancouver Mural Festival, and I'd walk by this mural next to my favorite bubble tea place on the wall outside. And I immediately was drawn to this, and I reached out to her through Instagram. And at that point, we were just growing into friends. I was suggesting her to get into NFTs, but come January, when I was really inspired by this movement of women-led projects, and you see BFF, Meta Angels, Curious Addies, where everyone's growing these strong communities to help one another, that really excited me, and that inspired me to start my own NFT project. So immediately, I thought of Artie Guava, and I wanted to work with her, especially because this story just resonated with me so much. And was so impactful to me. So when we sat down and started thinking about what we wanted to do, we looked at a lot of topics, but I knew her style of artwork, and that general sentiment that it gave was what we wanted to do. So we focused in on the idea of balance and went through a lot of brainstorming. Probably this manifesto was developed over a month, as well as our overall brand packaging. And we looked at, the different issues women face today, what our target audience should be, different benefits that we wanted to provide the community, and what causes that we felt we aligned with. And out of all this brainstorming, we came together with this huge document, and Artie Guava took that away and created pretty much the basis of what you see here with the manifesto, that took all these different concepts and brought together, and the highlighting, the pieces that she resonated with most, and also bringing in a bit of the story too, and where she came from, and how we want to strive for it and go going forward. So ultimately, like we want to drive change from what we're doing. We know that Web3 is kind of chaotic and can be so toxic. So we want to create that sense of belonging for people who are not only Web3, but outside of Web3, mothers, parents, people who are working and have just so much commitments and different things going on for them, that to have a place to step away and relax and meet people and work on yourself, that's something that we always forget to do so often. Bit of self-care and reflection, and we want to be that space for people. So this manifesto really is the backbone of everything we do, and we always revisit it and make sure that we're still striving towards that same overall mission. And how we tackle it, how we go about implementing, because my background as a project manager, it's more the do side. So how we accomplish this, we're always adapting and flexing and looking at what people want, but the foundation never strays, and that's really where that manifesto is built from.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I have to say that all of the things, all of those elements that you strive for, that's they're all of the elements that always bring me home to Guava Girls. And that self-care element, it's so true. Like yesterday I spent half just like a couple of hours just going away and writing my journal and spending a bit of time just having a bit of self-care. And it's just been chaotic the last couple of months. And it's so wonderful that you kind of provide that space and you provide that reminder for women, because I think we need it, and it really helps to like recalibrate and rebalance. So I just think that, yeah, everything that you're doing is just so worthwhile in Web3, like you say, but also in real life too. It would be great, Trisha, if you could share some tips with us around how you were able to make your manifesto so impactful, and maybe some tips around, if other people are thinking about writing their manifesto, how you think they would kind of go about that.
Yeah, like you said, it's a long process. Like it wasn't just written in a couple hours. And there's a lot of thought process that went behind, even before we set down pen and paper to think about it. I mean, I gotta give full credit to not I gotta give like 95% credit to Artie Guava, because really she's the one that wrote this. So she should be the one sitting up here talking about her work here. But ultimately, yeah, coming up with the foundation is so important. It's like someone who's writing a book, you hear that, that title comes last, right? Or the it's or even a movie, creating that framework before you even step into to producing it. This is like the even before we create a narrative, like this is the once foundational foundation, I guess, that drives everything. So to think about it thoroughly from end to end, what you're trying to achieve, who you're trying to what kind of people you want to bring into your community and be a part of this, and ultimately something engaging too. I don't know if manifestos are typically done in this form, but poetry is something that really helps Artie Guava convey her thoughts, and it's written in a very simplistic way that we're thinking, different people with different languages should be able to understand, or yeah, it's accessible, and I think, yeah, her I think that's the way that she's always done her poetry, and I find it extremely catchy as well. So I think stylistically, there's things to think about, but as I was mentioning who before, like who's the audience you're trying to target within or without or within or outside of that NFT community. Include a lot of concepts around storytelling or experiences that may drive people to make that overall change, because that's what we want people to get out of this. So yeah, that's the question. Like what do you want people to get out of reading this manifesto you have? And to us, it's we want to drive change within ourselves, drive change within the community. And I wish more NFT communities would do this, because you do see a lot of projects that are a little more surface level, and that's the reason why I wasn't interested in the NFT space in the first place, right? There's a lot of projects that I didn't understand, and this is way back last year. But, well, I mean now as well, but there's a lot of projects that just didn't resonate with me. But once you find one, it kind of you latch onto it. And the ones that I've seen that have really strong foundations for what they're doing, that sort of transcend just a functionality or just an artwork, right? That I find, those build really strong communities, and especially when you're driving change, that's sort of another level to it. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's my
You answered it beautifully. Thank you. There were some really interesting points there around. I've kind of latched onto this idea of think about your style, like think about the style that you're using your manifesto in. That was really, really interesting. And I love what you say about transcending functionality. I think that's brilliant terminology. I think that really chimes with me. So yeah, you definitely answered the question. And thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to hand over to Becky to come in, and she's going to take us through Everyday Goddesses. So I'll hand over to Becky now.
All right. Hey, everyone. Sorry about earlier. I had some technical issues, but I am back. So yeah, just to echo all of that, what you said about like the storytelling being so important, I think that's really the key to like what makes the community so strong, that you have these shared values. And that's I know that's why I engage in Guava Girls, because I love that community. And like already it's like, okay, I know what they stand for. These are my people. So I really liked that aspect of it. And I think that's really key for NFT projects going forward. I just read something the other night about like how the future is like micro communities, niche communities, and communities that have like relationships around these values. So I think having a manifesto is a really powerful way to just announce what you care about and attract your people. So I think that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Maria, I am so excited to talk about Everyday Goddesses. So I'm going to get us started by reading the lore. So the goddesses manifested as a result of a serious imbalance in the crypto space. They have taken on physical forms in our world and adorned themselves with artifacts inspired by the most extraordinary female figures in human mythology, art, literature, and history. The goddesses took on unexpected combinations of traits to inspire, build, and lead. Little is known about the everyday goddesses other than the fact that they combine ancient and modern, otherworldly, and relatable elements. They seamlessly embody different cultures, eras, interests, and philosophies to add a touch of divinity to the mundane. I love this. So I personally am a big fan of mythology and folklore. So this, when I read manifesto or lore, which I love that you chose lore as your word for, which is specific to your community. I just thought, oh my gosh, these are also my people. I am such a nerd for myths and folklore. So I would love to ask you, what inspired you to look to the ancient stories for inspiration for your collection?
Hello, Becky. Thank you so much for reading the lore, and I'm happy that you like it. For Everyday Goddesses, I guess if I can, summarize to London Read very quickly for us, like some of our core values are humor, empowerment, and I think the way that we're such an international community, and those three things I think are absolutely essential to our community. And way back when we were creating the collection, and of course I can completely relate to Trisha's experience, not seeing enough representation in the space, and really wanting to see more female likeness in all of our avatars. So you have that. And at the same time, the idea of combining unique, otherworldly, and at the same time, everyday, relatable, really came across as a way to combine empowerment and humor. So on one hand, it really says that we're all, we're all living our everyday lives. We're all just normal people, but at the same time, all of us have this divine elements. So that was such a cool concept, both in terms of empowerment and humor. So actually, when we're creating the collection back in the day, was my co-founder and was Vidya, we really had, I put together lots and lots of mood boards. We had a separate mood board for mythology inspiration, a separate one for literature, for modern figures. So we really wanted to dissect women that inspire us throughout history, throughout mythology, folklore, and bring on those elements that you wouldn't be necessarily able to tell which character this is, but to represent them in a really subtle way in our collection. So some of the elements you see in the collection, you can see Medusa, you can see Athena, Kali, so obviously those really, really powerful mythological goddesses. And at the same time, we wanted to include elements that are so familiar to all of us. So we have in our collection, for example, a phone outer battery. We have even a tampon, a used tampon. We have lots and lots of food elements. Also something that was very, very important to us is the international nature of our community. So just between the founding members, so the three founding members, we represent, I believe, 16 countries. We counted one day. So we're extremely, extremely international, multicultural, and diverse. So we really wanted our collection to represent that, and for anyone to really be able to find something that resonates with them in our collection. So you see obviously all the different skin tones and hairstyles, but at the same time you also see clothing from different regions of the world. You also see lots of international food items, which I must say our community is specifically passionate about. They're crazy foodies, and they always discuss you know, what they love to eat. So we have a bubble tea, and bubble tea just became a whole, you know, whole new level icon for our community. We have on our token shop, it's called Boba Shop, and with your goddesses you can accumulate boba tokens to buy other NFTs and allow this spot, stuff like that. So boba is like a huge symbol for us now, because the community loved this artifact so much. Then we have dumplings, burgers, just anything, and from so many different cultures. So back to your question, I think why, you know, why everyday and otherworldly, because we wanted for everyone to be able to relate to our collection, but also to find this empowerment, and also just to have a laugh, because some of those combinations are just, you know, so funny and crazy, and we had lots and lots of fun definitely creating this collection.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that you you created mood boards to kind of pinpoint how you wanted it to feel, how you wanted it to look, and make sure that there was representation for everyone. And both of you have mentioned being mindful of the international community and wanting to make sure everyone felt welcome, invited, represented in this space. So I think that's super interesting that you went from a visual perspective, and then you're like, oh yeah, Medusa, she's got a really interesting story. There's a lot of empowerment in you know, how she's, I guess, well, Medusa in part, I can go off on a tangent about Medusa and how she's portrayed in places. But if you look at the feminist, you know, side of things, that she's a really inspiring figure. So thank you so much for sharing that. Let's see. And, you know, you've mentioned that you wanted it to be really representative. Did you, well, because you have founders, you said, from multiple countries. So I think it sounds like that's really what helped inform the different, like, types of food, like you said, and the different, like, goddesses, and, you know, not just from one particular tradition of stories, that you were kind of looking all around. So that's that. I like that a lot. All right. So let's see. Rocky, did you have anything you wanted to add about Maria's wonderful explanation of her lore?
I find it really refreshing to kind of understand how much deep thought and how much work goes into this. And I think that for me, it comes back down to this idea of, you know, what was kind of discussed at the beginning of this space around, you know, you see a lot of projects that are superficial, and then you see projects that are really deep, that have had so much thought, so much insight, and so much consideration for who they've been built for. And like for me, hearing how these communities, how both of your communities have been developed and how that thinking has been developed, is really wonderful, because as a kind of member, you can feel that deep thought straight away. So it was really kind of really great to hear how that's all been put together. So thank you so much. I think one of the questions that we wanted to move on to, and it's a question for both of you, is how you've worked to tie the manifesto to your community building strategy. Maria, if you're happy to kick us off and then maybe pass the baton to Trisha, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I completely agree with what Trisha previously said about, you know, really laying a strong foundation and basing everything off that. So we did start with lore and a set of values that we care about, and based on that we kind of built everything else. So for example, something that was really important to us, and I think people who really minted the project back in the day, obviously it moves so much on secondary market now, but people who minted the project remember that we really put a strong emphasis on them not wasting too much time, not necessarily having to spend hours and hours a day on Discord or having to spend hours on Twitter. We understand that they're busy. They have dynamic, busy lives. So we wanted them to have a really comfortable, paced experience with Everyday Goddesses. And even the way we structured our mint, it was reserve and claim. So everyone had plenty of time to mint their goddesses. It was really, really, really chill, really stress-free process, as we heard from many of our community members. And we did get actually a lot of momentum because a really big collector minted our collection. So we really made sure that our core community members and people who were in our Discord and our community from the beginning had this opportunity to do it in a stress-free way. So that's something that really mattered a lot to us. No FOMO attitude and, you know, the mental health of our community. So that's one thing. Also, as I mentioned, humor is something that's so important to us. And I think anyone from our community who spends time on our Discord can see it from the way, you know, Game Master schedules our games to the way our community members. It's a very, very specific atmosphere where everyone's just joking around. We have lots of memes, even our stickers. We have lots and lots of inside jokes in our community. So that's something that we really care about. We just want them to have a really, really fun, rewarding experience and to be able to make friends in a genuine way. So that's something, another thing that we care about. Let me know if I answer your question.
Yeah, you definitely answered it. I love the strategies that you put together around creating a stress-free environment, helping people cope with the Discord grind, which is, you know, it's real. That struggle with Discord, you know, I personally struggle with it, and it's really wonderful that you've put that thought into, you know, tying the initial thinking into, okay, well, how is it gonna impact the people that are part of us? So definitely answered it, and some really interesting, insightful and useful things that that I hope people can take away from this space. And Tricia, are you able to answer the same question? I can just remind you of it. So it was a question around how have you tied the manifesto back to your community building strategy?
Yeah, I think we can look at, actually, one thing I haven't talked about really is the Guava Girls imagery. So alongside that manifesto is that imagery that we've got of a woman balancing different objects in her hands and head and standing on one foot. And so ultimately the Guava Girl, we want this to be not an ideal that we're striving for, but we want her to be a reminder of who we already are. So symbolic of each one of us. And we've taken different, we've asked the community what they're interested in to try to bring this into the artwork as well, asking what their aspirations are, what they're passionate about, and incorporating that into the artwork. So diversity and representation also is really important to us. And we want, we actually even invited our most engaged community members to be a team of curators to review the artwork first before we even launched it, to provide feedback, to even make it more diverse and make sure it doesn't have any poor connotations, I guess, when it's interpreted culturally. And I think Ricky, you're part of that team as well, so thank you for helping review our artwork and curate it. And so we definitely want the community to be a big part of developing our overall brand. And the outcome of this was we hear so many people who've minted artwork, and the artwork they minted, they really relate to it. And it's, I love how, I think it's the same with Maria's Everyday Goddesses as well. These items that these characters are holding, they don't have to be taken literally either. Like with a bird, it can represent freedom, or with, off the top of my head, I can't really think of, but we've got over 500, yeah, the tiger, right? Fierceness, right? It doesn't have to be like literally a tiger, but that's what I love about how people have interpreted the items in the Guava Girls' hands and on their head and in the overall image. And we want to hear, we always want to hear what these interpretations are. So we love doing activities that make people think introspectively about themselves. And one of the activities was like writing a poem or a description about Guava Girls. And we continue to do these co-creation activities because we want people to be involved in creating this overall sentiment and be a part of building this together with us. So I'd say it extends beyond that manifesto. The manifesto probably won't change because it's something that we continue to look at as our North Star, but it's really how we continue building and going forward and continue evolving the overall brand. I think that can continue to change, and we definitely invite our community members to be a part of that.
Thank you for sharing that. One thing that for both of you that is I'm hearing come up is that but when you created your manifesto or your lore, that's something that's kind of helped guide all of the actions that have come after that. It's like, okay, well, if the Guava Girl is someone who, you know, it's not an ideal, but it's someone that we already are, then the art's going to reflect that. And you know, for the everyday goddesses, like we're gonna have a diverse group of women as well. I mean, for both artworks are diverse, but you know, it's like you're taking these stories that people can already relate to, and then you're saying, okay, this is the lore, and now the community can run with it. Like how you mentioned the boba tokens, and like how that came from kind of the fun foods that people really liked and that were featured in the art. And so it's like, and then I think I read also on the website that the next phase will be like spiritual like animals for like that kind of are tied to like a Cerberus or like different mythical is the word I was looking for, animals that are also kind of tied into that universe. So it helps you instead of thinking where do we go from here, your manifesto or your lore is already guiding the community to co-create with you. It's guiding you in your actions as you continue to scale and move on into maybe other transmedia storytelling. And so I think that's super interesting. So thank y'all so much. All right. Rocky, did you have anything to add before I ask the next question?
No, you're all good. You're all good to answer the next question.
All right. So with all that being said, will the narrative extend beyond community building content? You know, like what plans do you have to connect, maybe using your lore or your manifesto to connect with other partners? Do you think your manifesto will give you like a leg up with other brands and influencers? We've seen some other projects where they have their lore, their story, and then that's helped them secure partnerships with other companies because it's just so clear on who they are and what their values are. So I'd love to hear from both of you. We can start with Trisha and then hear from Maria on, yeah, how the lore is going to help you kind of get to the 2.0 stage with partnerships and expanding from here.
That is definitely the 2.0. And that's kind of something we're currently working on right now and writing, pitch decks for different types of audiences. I want to stress on that audience part because we're so used to talking to an NFT crowd that it's been an interesting process to try to turn this a bit around and look at external partnerships outside of the Web3 space. These physical brands that we want to work with, and what better way to find a way to a level to connect on than this kind of stuff, right? This transcends the NFT technology is just a means of accomplishing the task that we set out, right? It doesn't need to be entirely Web3. So that's where using this kind of language helps communicate to those Web2 groups, and it's something people do understand. Balance, self-care. Looking at, driving strong communities and helping one another, those kind of things are beyond the web. They are very much part of the Web3 space, and that's how we're accomplishing it. But It's a concept that even Web2 people will understand. So we're working on different partnerships with different brands in that way. And I think the first thing is coming up with a strong pitch for them to get them to buy into what we're trying to offer as a partnership and slowly ease them into onboarding into Web3. So it's been a fun experience, and this is something we're just starting out and working on. So going back to the drawing board and brainstorming on how to best communicate to these groups. It's been actually a lot of fun. And I've been practicing on, a lot of friends and family who aren't quite in that Web3 space as well. So it's we're just at the start here and continuing to work towards that and getting ready to launch this marketplace that we have for our rewards program, and excited to showcase some partnerships there.
Love that. Thank you so much. It sounds like more and more like your story is your competitive advantage once you start to really go to scale. Yeah.
I love that that way of putting it, competitive advantage. And honestly, I think it is. Just having thought about it at this level puts us ahead of like we don't have to start from absolute scratch, right? We have that foundation and that we can pull from, and that's there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Maria, same question. How is having your lore kind of going to help you as you seek out maybe potential partners as you look at the future of Everyday Goddesses?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I must agree completely with Trisha. And while Everyday Goddesses have, I believe, very exciting lore, and I just see so many opportunities and lots of things we're working on, so many opportunities to collab for different partnerships with Web2. But as Trisha rightly said, it's more about communicating, like taking 10 steps back and communicating what NFTs actually are. Because to us, obviously, it's all, super clear and easy. But in Web2, I think it's still more about explaining in a really compelling way how they can benefit from this technology rather than even diving into the lore. The lore is a cherry on top, but I think the real difficult task, as Krisha said, is to dissect for them and explain what is this we're doing and why they should care about it. So I think every brand, every young NFT brand right now in the space is tackling this. At least the brand that has ambitions to really expand and grow into Web2 as well. And I think actually this is a necessity. I think a good example of how your lore can just live a life of its own is our token shop. As I mentioned, Boba was not even a specifically, key part of our collection, but it's our community who made it such a central part because they loved it so much. And there's so many jokes and so much additional lore that was built around Boba. That's why our token shop took the way it was designed, the way we named everything in the shop took shape of a Boba shop. So I think that's an interesting example of how your lore can really shape how your project lives on. And I think that's a really exciting part because it's not, you can have a really specific idea and know what you want to do, not know what your values are, but it's exciting to still leave something up for your community, for your users, to let them kind of take on the project and decide almost which direction they wanted to go.
Thank you so much, Maria. I think that's really interesting. I think that the point that you raise about really going back to the basics and working to explain to some people that are not in the Web3 space already, which are obviously going to be, a big part of our core audiences. Just things like, well, what actually is Web3? What does the technology afford us? What exactly are NFTs? And Trisha, just talking to your point around talking to projects or to communities or to partners, stakeholders outside of the Web3 space to form partnerships there. I think that for me personally, I can talk to that in terms of my capacity as working to develop a community for Gold Bangle Club, and that the focus for us is trying to increase the participation within Web3 from South Asian women particularly. And that's certainly one of the things both of the aspects that you mentioned there are what we are pulling on. So we're starting to talk to stakeholders and community members that have got nothing to do with Web3, because that's where our target audience is. We want to bring women that have never really thought about Web3 into the space and to let them see the opportunities, whether that's personal or professional. And that comes with its own challenges sometimes. And I think that's certainly one of the really fun challenges to overcome. And talking to Maria, your point around, you know, going back to the basics. I just think that there isn't enough education that we can keep, you know, that we can do. I think that's just something that we continue to do, because I think it's really easy to kind of get lost in this this idea that, you know, you're kind of continuing on your Web3 journey and you forget that people just don't, you know, just haven't really entered the space. So really, really interesting insights and great kind of thoughts that you both shared. I wonder, Becky, if you've got any thoughts on that before we move on.
I do, just a comment really, because, you know, you mentioned like how, like, having to talk to stakeholders who maybe don't understand NFTs or Web3 or crypto. And I think that's, again, where the storytelling can come in. You know, it's like Simon Sinek, he had that famous TED Talk where he said, you know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So if you start with the why, like we're creating a community for women and allies who blah, 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 and you insert your mission and your vision and you tell your story, then that's what draws them in, right? And then after that, you're like, well, how do we do it? Well, we use NFTs. And, you know, here's a simple explanation about what NFTs are. And so it's otherwise, if you do it the opposite way, I think they might look at you like you have three heads and they don't know, right? What's that mythical creature with the three heads? I can't remember now, but y'all know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so I think again, it's something that can, from what I'm hearing from y'all, it's something that can maybe help as an icebreaker as you have those conversations. So cool. Let's move on to our last question.
Cool. So our last question is basically, you know, we've talked about this, the fact that Web3 is all about co-creation. And it's a question, again, to both of you, Maria and Tricia, just to understand whether your manifesto will change over time as the community grows, or do you see the manifesto as your kind of North Star and that your actions will change as a result of it? I think we kind of know the answer, but it'd be great to hear it from the horse's mouth. And sorry, I didn't say who to go first. So Maria, did you want to, actually, Tricia, you've already unmuted yourself. So Tricia, you go first.
You know, I said that it wouldn't, but as you were talking about that, I was thinking one thing that we did change. Originally our overall mission statement was around centering on women's experiences. And that's something that we soon realized that we didn't want to do, be exclusionary of men and allies and other people, right? So that's something that I think our manifesto currently focuses on, as, you know, women are that the primary audience, but it doesn't mean that necessarily we're keeping other people out, right? I think it's stayed as a foundation of what resonated with us the most, just because myself, my co-founder Artie Guava, our two core team members who also helped us build this, Annie and Joanna, like this is sort of the manifesto that we came up with together. And through being women, we sort of catered it towards what we really saw that resonated with us. But I think now that you're mentioning it, maybe it is good to revisit it with some other groups to make sure that it isn't exclusionary, right? That they feel comfortable with something like this being put up front and being a part of this, even though, we talk about, looking aside to your fellow women and seeing them for support. I don't necessarily want to, like, we talked about co-creation, right? It's so important to have everyone's thoughts put into this. And this was something that was developed by really the four of us. So with that said, through this conversation, I like to revisit that and make sure that no one feels left out from this statement being put up. And I don't see the overall meaning changing very much, but in terms of that statement around, women alone, I don't necessarily think that's the case anymore. So yeah, I'm gonna go out and revisit this and think about it.
Thank you so much. It's really interesting. I love to hear you speak as you're thinking.
Sorry. I think I blab a lot. But yeah, like it's just so important to like I want to keep an open mind. That's the bottom line here, right? And we are constantly evolving. I want to make sure we adapt with the people that we want to create value for. And in that way, I think it's worth looking at again.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think it was a real privilege to kind of hear you thinking out aloud, and I'm really and it's great that the question kind of sparked that in you. Maria, same question for you, and I'll just repeat it for you. So, with Web3 being all about co-creation, will your manifesto change a little over time as the community grows, or do you see the manifesto as your North Star and your actions will change?
Yeah, that's a really good question again. So I think it's absolutely essential for any business in Web2 or Web3 to be as flexible and as adaptable as possible, just because how fast-paced, not, I mean, we're always talking about how fast-paced the space is, how fast-paced the world is right now. So it's essential really to be flexible, agile, adaptable, to react quickly, to reevaluate things, because our reality changes every day, and it's very important to be responsive. This being said, of course, our core values, our company, our mother company, and Everyday Goddesses were created with artists in mind. And the mission of growing female influence in the space will always be important to us. This will always, reflect in one way or another in our initiatives and, things we spend our time on. But at the same time, not only, and I'm not just talking about, the mission statement or the lore, I'm talking about, the direction of the project as a whole, will be changing and will be reactive. And it is. So, for example, right now, we're all going through quite a difficult time. Let's address the elephant in the room in the market. It's a big challenge for any project, for any business in Web3. So our response to that is focus a lot of our efforts on Shiny Labs, which has a lot of benefits to Everyday Goddesses, and our goal is to make our business more sustainable using that leg of our business. At the same time, just really reevaluating and looking at every element of our roadmap that hasn't been tackled yet, and seeing and really asking difficult questions: is this useful? Is this going to benefit the community? So I think it's absolutely essential to be reactive, be agile, and but at the same time to always keep your core values in mind and always address them in one way or another. So I guess that's our perspective on that. But yeah, it's a very difficult industry. It's a very difficult, I think, just era for any digital business, and you need to be again moving fast and not necessarily be married to some ideas, but to be brave enough to question things, and yeah, I guess have those uncomfortable discussions. I guess another point that I must mention, for example, we've done a couple of weeks ago, we've done a user research and to learn more about our community, about who our holders are. And based on that, actually, we changed some of our assumptions and changed some of our So for example, as an example, there are a lot of things like that, but we thought that our community would need to be, you know, onboarding, and our community are beginners in NFTs. Actually, as it turned out, they're quite experienced, you know, so things like that really shape your strategy going forward. So I think actually user research and, you know, this time when you stop for a second and question, ask those difficult questions is essential.
Thanks, Maria. I love what you say about being brave and kind of being open to you know, all of the feedback, positive and the negative. And as you say, you know, tying it back into, you know, the market that we're, the slower market that we're in now, you know, it will pay dividends to everyone to be adaptable. So I think some really, really useful points, I think, for people to take away there. So thank you so much. And Becky, I'm going to hand over to you just to see if you've got any thoughts there before your kind of closing remarks and closing questions.
No, I think to, yeah, really what you said, Raki, about, yeah, being brave and kind of saying, and what Maria said about, you know, looking at what's going on and, you know, you're talking to your community and like Tricia said, to talking to the community and making sure that you're not, you know, so fixed and so rooted in something that you can't see the opportunities to maybe adjust things. And that's okay. And it's expected. And this is a new space. So we're all figuring it out. But having kind of your values aren't changing. So I like that you're maybe thinking about like who the audience is and tweaking some of the messaging, but the core values are still there. So thank y'all so much for sharing that. All right, well, we're gonna wrap up this wonderful episode. Thank you so much again to Maria and Tricia for joining. Some of the key takeaways here in this really juicy episode about your writing your manifesto or your narrative for your NFT project are, you know, coming back to your mission. The storytelling is at the forefront. Having a good manifesto takes a lot of work. You know, it's not something that you can just write overnight. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of maybe vision boards or poems, whatever your process is to kind of come together and figure out how to express the values of your community is going to take some time to do. Technology is just a vehicle to getting to the goal, but your story is your competitive advantage as you scale. So thank you guys so much. And for everyone that's listening, you can mint Guava Girls right now on their website. And Everyday Goddesses is available on the secondary market. Did anyone have anything left to share before we sign off?
Just a thank you. Maria, enjoyed speaking with you again and connecting with you again. It's been a while since we saw each other in New York, and we've been on a couple of spaces together. So it was nice to see you again. And Raki and Becky, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yes, same. Thank you so much for having us. And yes, Tricia, same. It was really nice to see you in New York and nice speaking to you now. And yeah, thank you again for this amazing discussion.
You are welcome. Wonderful. Okay. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you, ladies.